Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into a really important piece of work for climate adaptation in South Africa. We're looking at the key findings from a 2014 report by the Climate System Analysis Group, CSAG. This was done for the Western Cape government, and our mission here is pretty straightforward. Get a quick handle on the main challenges and takeaways for, you know, municipal adaptation planning there. Okay, let's unpack this.
Right. And this report had a very specific and I'd say difficult job. It was about translating really complex climate science. You're talking global models, future projections, downscaling methods into something, well, actionable, something municipal managers and local government could actually use on the ground. It wasn't meant to be just a technical document.
And the first thing that jumps out, the most certain bit, is pretty sobering, isn't it? The Western Cape faces an almost certainly warmer future. And for you, the listener, you need to understand this isn't just a background environmental thing. It's an immediate economic risk. Think about sectors like winemaking, viticulture, and high-value fruit production.
Exactly. The quality, especially for export, is so closely tied to specific temperature ranges. If those change significantly, it hits the economy hard. But it's also key to remember this warming is happening on top of a climate that's already, well, extremely variable. The Western Cape has always had to deal with serious water shortages, heat waves, floods.
Yeah, that existing variability is crucial context.
It is. You've got the influence of the oceans, the mountains. It's a really complex system, naturally prone to extremes.
And you can see that in past events, right? The report mentions the Laingsburg flash floods back in January 1981. That was just devastating.
Mm-hmm. Triggered by a cutoff low, as they call it. Basically, a weather system stalls and just dumps enormous amounts of rain.
And the figures were staggering, something like 425 millimeters in just 2 days in that area. It shows the kind of sudden, localized risk planners face.
Absolutely. That event really underlines the noise in the climate system there. Now, if we look at the observed trends, the data they had before 2014, it already showed temperatures clearly rising across the region. And interestingly, fastest in the drier inland areas.
Okay, so warming was already observed. What about rainfall trends back then?
Ah, that's where it gets tricky. The report points out a sort of critical barrier. The network for actually observing rainfall, the number of stations, was declining. Mm. So spotting a clear, reliable trend in rainfall was much, much harder. The data was just too limited.
Right. Okay, so that brings us to the future projections. What really stood out to you there? What were the models saying?
Well, the consensus on warming is really strong. Under what's called RCP 8.5, which is basically the high emissions kind of worst case pathway, global climate models, the GCMs, project more than 1 degree Celsius warming as very likely by the 2040s. That's a big signal.
Okay, so over 1 degree C by the 2040s, that's high certainty. But then we come back to rainfall. If the observations are limited, how do they project future rain with any confidence, especially for local planning?
That's the nub of the problem. The big global models, the GCMs, they might hint at overall drying for the region, but their resolution is really coarse, like 250 kilometers across. That's no good for deciding where a town puts its pipes, right?
Right, way too broad.
So you need downscaling. You take that coarse data and use techniques to refine it for a local area. And when you do that, the picture gets much more complex. You see differences across space, shifts in when the rain falls, not just whether it gets drier overall. It's much more nuanced.
So planning relies on putting together three different, sometimes conflicting streams of information. Those patchy observations, the coarse GCMs, and these detailed but maybe varied downscaling results.
Precisely. And what's really interesting, I think, is that the core challenge isn't just about building better models. It's also about figuring out how to communicate the disagreement between the different models and data sources. Because that disagreement, that uncertainty, it's actually a valid message in itself. It tells planners they can't bet on one single future.
So they need strategies that work across a range of possibilities, like no regrets actions.
Exactly. Robust decision making. Prepare for multiple high impact risks. But, you know, that's really tough to implement at a municipal level where people often want clear answers for spending money.
So what does this all mean? It sounds like the report really highlights this ongoing need for flexible planning and crucially more targeted local research to help guide those tough decisions. That's it in a nutshell. And maybe the final thought for you, the listener, is this. We know the temperature signal, the warming, is already clear in South Africa. High certainty. But the rainfall signal, it hasn't really emerged clearly from the background noise of natural ups and downs yet. It's highly uncertain, but potentially devastating if it changes dramatically. So the question becomes, How do you, as a planner, ethically and financially balance adapting right now to this certain warming against planning for these highly uncertain but potentially catastrophic changes in rainfall? It forces you towards flexibility, doesn't it? Planning for the worst, investing wisely.